know, we are our brother's keeper, and every one of us have an effect on each other, and I want to thank you for the effect that you've had on me. Amen. You know, I also want to acknowledge my mom and dad. They're here tonight. Amen. I told my mom just the other day on Mother's Day, if it hadn't been for the investment that they made in me, the sacrifices they made, I don't know where I'd be. So thank you. If you turn in your Bibles with me tonight to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, I'm excited tonight for the Word of God, and the power of God has to change us from the inside out. You know, if you think back to when you first came into this thing, or you first started to encounter God for yourself, you know, how much have you changed since then? I mean, we really can't, in our own power, really enact much change in ourselves. I mean, we can do a little here and there, and it's fleeting at times, but God can actually change us. Reprogram change us. I have a phone, and every once in a while it lets me know that there's an update. Well, God is continuously wanting to update us into that image, that thing, that purpose, the design that he had intended us to be on a continual basis. And so I recognize that there's a process that goes on, and I'll even refer to it a bit as a cycle that goes on as we try to apply those updates. And so in Ecclesiastes, verse 1, verse 4, it says, "One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." And so there's generation after generation after generation after generation, and they just continue on. In verse 5, "The sun also ariseth, and the sun also goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose." And so we know every day the sun rises, the sun sets, and then it does it again, and then it does it again, and then it does it again, and so on. "The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits over and over and over and over again." And verse 7, "And all the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full, and to the place from whence the rivers come thither they return again over and over and over. And the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done." So if it's been done before, it'll be done again, and it'll be done again and again and again. "And there is no new thing under the sun." Let me ask you, how many years do you think you have to go by if you can think back? I was asking myself this question. At what age did I recognize that life had a cyclical pattern to it? I mean, we realize the sun comes up pretty early in life, but at some point we start to realize bigger things. They just go around and around and again and again. There's nothing new under the sun. What was, will be, and will be again. Tonight, with the help of God, we're going to look and talk about these cycles and how I could really categorize them into two things, either a vicious cycle or a virtuous cycle. Again and again and again. Would you pray with me tonight? Jesus, God, we're relying on you, God, to change us from the inside out, to make us into that thing that you desire, God, that we would be pleasing to you. We ask that you would touch us tonight, touch our hearts and our minds as you have already touched and surely changed us all. Continue the process. Allow us to take the next update. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's so many things that just have this cyclical pattern of again and again and again. And I mean, we can look at the world and we can find a bunch of examples. Let me give you a couple. For instance, take fashion. Whatever was in fashion 25 years ago is back in fashion, some version of it today. In fact, my parents probably can confirm the story. I think when I was about 13, I had to have a pair of Oakley frog skins. This is 25 years ago or more-ish. The black heavy frame glasses that were very cool and in style. And I got them. Thank you, Mom and Dad. I was cool, at least in that one little piece I had going for me related to something fashionable. And some years after, and for many years thereafter, you wouldn't see those anywhere. But go to any sunglass rack today, and you'll see those thick, heavy plastic sunglasses in every version and every style. What was, will be, and will be again and again. It's too bad the youth aren't up here tonight, because I could tell them 25 years ago how skinny jeans were in style back then, too. In fact, we actually took the ends and folded them over and rolled them up. Guilty. You know, personally, I don't recommend trying to keep up with all these fashion trends because it's a vicious cycle. It's really just designed to get you to part with your money over and over and over again. And I've started to find that if I just hang on to things, and I've got a few things that are getting pretty old now that, hey, I'm back. Those deck shoes, I'm back. So, you know, while fashion is I would call it a vicious cycle, it's really not going to hurt anybody. I mean, long term, it might hurt your pocketbook short term. It might hurt your pride, but fashion isn't as much as it is a vicious cycle. It's not the one you need to be the most worried about. But if we think about when we look at this world, we can use that term vicious cycle and apply it to a whole bunch of things. For instance, you know, one generation impacting the next. You know, my father was like this, or the family I came from, or whatever the situation, right? We can see how good or bad can be handed down time and time and time again. And it can be either a vicious cycle or it can be a virtuous cycle. God has created so many of these patterns I see in the world around us. You know, if we take a moment to stop and kind of step back and look at the world we live in, I'm just amazed at the engineering job that God has put in place, the craftsmanship, the design, attention to detail, the artistry. So many times in this, just the last month, I found myself actually wanting to pull over just to look at the sunset as the colors fill the sky with these beautiful colors that just don't happen, except God put them there. And I get out my phone, I try and take a picture, but it doesn't ever actually capture the essence of the moment. Like, you have to be there. You have to see the majesty of it all. And he's created all these complex systems, like the planets and the stars and their orbits and how precise they all are. The seasons and how those seasons transition and how the plants react to those seasons and how that just happens over and over and over again. I'm just amazed at how much detail is put into all of what he's engineered. You could look at the natural circle of life as, you know, from the very smallest microorganisms all the way up the food chain to you and I. And then there's our body. I mean, what an intricate system this is. An amazing system that we can't even, we struggle to duplicate. Like, we try and create parts to replace parts that God made, and they're never quite as good. Because of we don't have that ability that he has, that the complex systems, the complexity of it all. Did you know that each day an average heart beats 100,000 times and pumps 1,900 gallons of blood throughout the average body? 1,900 gallons of blood are pumping. Now, if you bought a pump at Menards and tried to pump all day with water, how long do you think it would work before it didn't anymore? Right, we just don't have the ability to build a machine that can just last perpetually for 70, 80, 90, 100 years. But God, he built that plus a whole bunch of other things that all work together, that an electrical system I mean, we have wiring in our houses, and I replace some outlets, and I turn the breakers off. But God, He's got this electrical system that runs throughout me and sends information back and forth, and I didn't do anything to help make that happen. So the world we live in is filled with all of these systems, and they're really virtuous systems, right, that kind of feed one another. One thing happens to support another thing. One life organism exists to support another. The weather happens. All of these systems are moving all at once, and God put it all in place. Man had nothing to do with it, and still has nothing to do with it, and we simply sit here and let it happen. Virtuous systems all around us. And so sometimes I think we try and reproduce some of those systems. Like, I don't have a lot of hobbies, but I do have one of my hobbies is that I enjoy is freshwater fish tanks, aquariums. I may have mentioned it a few before, but that was the beginning of my hobby. Now it's progressed. I'm up to about 5 tanks in my basement office. So I think that's still considered a hobby. It might be a disorder, but... And I don't just have fish tanks, fish and water. I take it quite a few steps further. I actually specialize in live planted tanks. And so I simulate the sun with special lights, with special spectrums, with special bulbs, and I'll even change the bulbs to create different spectrums. I mean, there's a lot of detail. I actually pump the water with carbon dioxide, CO2. Carbon monoxide would probably kill the fish. Carbon dioxide will help the plants and not kill the fish as long as you don't do too much. So it's on a timer and it releases and there's little bubbles because the plants actually need more than what the fish produce, and the fish produce waste which feeds the plants, and there's an ecosystem that takes place in these tanks. And I'm part of my awe or interest in them, I think, is just the fact that I look at that and I try to see a sliver of what God has created and understand how complex it is and how futile it is for me to try and replicate it to a degree, but I'm amazed by things like that. But you know, if the challenge with tanks and having 5 of them itself as a challenge is keeping them in balance. If you don't keep the tank in balance, it starts to look bad. An unbalanced tank, and this algae starts to move in and if you don't keep the nutrients in the right levels or change the water or filter the water appropriately, algae will continue to grow and other things, and it will look really bad. And if you let it go like I have in a couple of my tanks, the more the algae moves in, the further the whole thing gets out of whack. And the further the tank or this ecosystem gets out of whack or out of balance, it won't matter how much you clean the tanks later, how much you remove the algae. It's so out of balance, it'll come back with a vengeance faster than it ever did before. And so you get into this vicious cycle again of I let it go, I let it go, I let it go, and now I can't combat it very well. Had I actually just done the basics way back here at the beginning, it wouldn't have ever gotten to that state, and if it wouldn't have gotten to the state that I couldn't get it back. In fact, sometimes it gets so bad, the only thing to do is to take everything out, the gravel, the water, the plants, the rocks, everything. Clean it completely out, potentially replace the filters and start all over again because it's so far gone that you're never going to get it back. I'm going to pause a moment here and shift from tanks and talk to you a little bit about my experience with the vicious cycle of this flesh. You see, God started a new spiritual fish tank in me when he baptized me in his name and filled me with his spirit. Amen. And it was like that fresh tank that is crystal clean. There's zero debris, zero algae. Everything looks beautiful. The lights are shining. The fish are happy. It's amazing. It's awe-inspiring. And so as he started this process in me and he cleaned my tank, you could say, in the tank, you could say, God showed me that I had to actually keep my tank clean, right, through prayer and through reading of his word, through worship like we did tonight, and really just being faithful to the house of God. It's all part of a maintenance program. Amen. But even with all these great tools at my disposal, there have been times when I just didn't keep up with the basics. You know, a little less prayer leads to a little less prayer, which leads to a little less prayer. A little less reading of the word leads to a little less reading of the word, to a little less reading of the word, again and again. But in equal opposite directions, a little more of the world starts to show up, followed by a little more of the world, a little more of the world, and a little more of the world. Now, over the 17 plus years, I've never walked away from this building, but there's been times where I've seen this vicious cycle come and go and come in different degrees and stay for different periods of time. I so appreciate what Brother Mundy said the other day when he testified, when he talked about seeing people walk away from this truth, from the power of God that we just experienced tonight, and that how it makes them thirsty for more of God's Spirit, because it reminds them that we all are made of the same stuff, and any one of us are susceptible to get caught in the vicious cycle and find ourselves somewhere else, not enjoying the presence of God. Switching back to fish tanks, did you know there's actually an ecosystem that never goes out of balance? You may have seen one of these. It's actually an enclosed micro ecosystem in glass, sealed. They sell these. You can buy them. Look on eBay if you don't see them at the local store. And so the manufacturer has carefully measured out just the right amount of everything between the water and the minerals. And then they have these little microorganisms and then these shrimp, tiny shrimp, sealed in glass. And so there's air, there's water, there's everything they need. And literally the system feeds itself. It's perfect. It's sealed. You never have to feed it. You never have to heat it. There's no plugs that go with it. There's nothing you need to do because God has already engineered the right parts, and we figured out just enough of it to seal it up in a piece of glass that was sanitized enough so that nothing foul got in there and stuck around, and it feeds itself. Wouldn't it be great if we could just spiritually seal ourselves in glass and live in a container that is impenetrable from the outside, so we could just have that virtuous cycle ever going? You know, one day we will actually be able to trade this mortal body in for one of immortality, one that actually is perfect and doesn't, you know, to a degree actually does take care of itself. But until that day, God's given us this equipment to work with. And at the same time, he's given us tools to combat that vicious cycle of our flesh. If you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, he's given us tools that are capable of overcoming every fleshly desire, tools that will fuel a virtuous cycle in our walk with God. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." So this is a formula. "As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So once you have a taste of this thing, it should create a desire, like what Brother Mundy said, a thirst for more. And as you have a thirst for more, a sincere desire for the milk of the word that you may grow, you will start to lay those things aside, the malice, the guile, the hypocrisies, the envies, the evil speakings. Amen. And verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We've done this here tonight. Amen. As lively stones, building our spiritual houses up, worshiping God, making sacrifice to God. And so he's given us tools. And if you think back to the very beginning, there was no doubt that you had the power to overcome this flesh. And it was so amazing and so dramatic how we went from our own power to all of a sudden having the power of God, and we could see the distinction so big. But then over time, the cycles of life start to kick in. You know, there was a time, and I used to travel a lot for work, and I thank Jesus that I don't travel a lot for work anymore, that I felt low in the spirit. And I remember during that time actually taking notice of it to say, I need to do something more than what I'm doing today. Right? I'm still going to church. I'm still faithful to God, but I recognize that I'm low. And so I remember this one particular trip being on the road, and every morning while I ate my oatmeal and sat at the breakfast table, I would pull my phone out and I would just read some scripture. And it seemed like a small, insignificant thing, but it was what I could fit into the busy schedule that I had going around me. And I remember looking back at the end of that week as I came home and realizing that that week was the best week I had had in a long time. A little thing to start to feed the virtuous cycle started to counteract what was the vicious cycle that I recognized was going on. I remember at the moment, I wasn't feeling the power of God sitting at the breakfast table reading the word, but I just was reading the word. And we sing that song that says it so clearly, the more I seek you, the more I find you. And the more I find you, the more I love you. And the more I love you, on and on and on and on and on and on. A virtuous cycle. Did you know you can be in church all the time and be in one of those vicious cycles? I mean, if you think about it, anyone who has ever left this truth, anyone who's ever backslidden has spent many, many, many services here while they were in a vicious cycle that grew stronger and stronger and stronger. It's hard to say when it started. It's hard to say how long it's been going on. It could be weeks, it could be months, it could be years in the making. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is wicked, no man can know it. Tonight I'm speaking about this vicious cycle because sometimes it can be elusive or easily overlooked or disregarded just long enough for it to become a life-altering event. Let me share an illustration that I've seen played out in my own life. An illustration that God actually gave me the very first time I ever stood in this pulpit. Some of you were actually here then, and you might remember this illustration. I may remember it better than you because I was extremely nervous that time. And I don't even remember how many years ago it was, but he gave me this illustration as he started to show me the cycle that was taking place. And I imagined this big old-fashioned scale. And I go back to this all the time for myself. I may have even shared it with some of you since then. But you know those big old-fashioned scales that they have two sides to them, and then the needle in the middle starts off in the middle, and you literally had to take weights and put them on one side, and then you could weigh your produce or whatever it was you were weighing on the other side to know was that 8 ounces or 10 ounces and so on. And you removed weights and you added weights. The old-fashioned balance kind of scale. And so I see this picture of the scale with the two arms protruding out and those kind of hanging platforms on the side. And the scale is really, it's me. And so on one side of the scale, it points towards the flesh and this world, and on the other side of the scale, it points towards God. And so as I look at the scale in me, I can see as I came into this truth, God suddenly tipped the scale heavy towards him, like ridiculously heavy, and I was compelled to do things I never would have done had God not been involved with it all. But then I found out over time, if I didn't keep putting weight on the side of the scale that tipped towards God, eventually it would start to even back out. You know, still pointed towards God, but not as much as it was before. During those first years coming into the church, I was caught by surprise when the flesh suddenly took the lead. When the needle all of a sudden moved from pointed towards God, to the direction I came from. And I was surprised because I didn't realize that I had to continually invest in that virtuous cycle to keep it going. I heard preached one time by Brother Bill Davis that people, as they apply the word of God to their lives, they see and feel the blessings of God. But then when they take it, they start to take steps backwards towards their old life and they don't see the blessings stop right away, they get lulled into a false sense of security with God. And I've come to the realization that if this is the scale and here's the measure in the middle and one side tips towards God and one side tips back towards the life in the flesh and in this world, you know, the weight that's on the side of my flesh is fixed, right? It doesn't actually get bigger or smaller. It's there, and it doesn't relate to how much I weigh on the scale, right? The flesh has a weight to itself that always wants to tip the scale towards itself, that always wants to lead us towards the things that the flesh would desire, opposite the direction of God. It's in every one of us. It's inevitable, and it's fixed. On the other end of the scale, the hand that tips the scale towards God is not fixed. In fact, it's actually more like a funnel or an hourglass. And so I imagine not putting weights of lead like the old-fashioned, but imagine with me an hourglass, and sand goes into that side. And so as you put sand in, it does tip the scale. But at the same time, it's sand's coming out the bottom, just like an hourglass, right, as time goes on. And I can feel that take place. As if I don't feed that virtuous cycle, if I don't continue to put weight on the side that tips towards God, one day I can tip the other way. So as I apply the word of God to my life, I can certainly feel, and I would imagine you can agree, that you can feel that scale start to tip towards God. And I know, and I'm grateful at the same time, that God doesn't give me a graph to show my spirituality versus the investment I've made and how true it is that it's in direct proportion to the investment I made. I'm glad I don't get that in the mail, but at the same time, I recognize that it happens. And so I can recognize that the more I invest, the more the scale tips towards the right side. Now, this is where I think it gets tricky, is because if we start the scale at the very beginning when God tipped it heavy in the right direction, over time, just like you are here tonight, right, in a service, we're putting some weight on the right side. But that's one service, right? I can tell you from experience, not enough to keep the scale tipped in the right direction. So then you do two services. Sorry, probably still not enough to keep the scale tipped in the right direction. Three services, still probably not enough. Prayer, it's getting better, but we need to, if those are the only investments we're making in our relationship with God, I don't know, the weight of the flesh won't eventually catch up with that. And so what gets tricky is we don't recognize or become as alarmed about the changes that take place because we are still pointed towards God. We still have a love for God. We still have a desire for God. We haven't left God. We haven't left this building. But nonetheless, we progressively can let a vicious cycle slowly eat away, lulling us, not realizing, well, we realize it, but not taking alert to the situation that's going on. And over time, and I don't know how long it takes, years, months, weeks, but we could put weight on the right side of the scale at every service and still eventually end up on the wrong side. And the warning indications are this: when it starts to get harder to go to prayer than it used to be to go to prayer,
chances are your scale's starting to tip in the wrong direction. I know from experience that if it's difficult to get yourself to service, you may be pointed in the starting to point towards the wrong direction. You haven't left. And this process can get drawn out. And in that drawing out, like the fish tanks at my house, the longer I go without having taken situation and addressed it, the harder it gets to address the situation. And there's people tonight that haven't been able to address the situation at all, to the point where they're not here tonight because of a vicious cycle. And it gets harder and harder because those feelings on the wrong side of the scale are real. I remember at times thinking to myself, God, why did you make me so flawed? Why did you give me this kind of equipment to start with? But at the same time, he's given us all the tools to overcome that starting point. And so the longer we let that vicious cycle go, though, the harder and harder it gets because it's the feelings on the other side are real. They're in all of us. And if we go on the wrong side of the scale too long, who knows where those feelings will take us? And so we have to be aware of the changes, even the subtle changes. I remember at times being stuck, knowing I was in not the right direction, but not being able to course correct it for, I don't know, years? I mean, if you start to really take a step back and look at your life, these cycles, either virtuous or vicious, can be who knows what duration. But at the same time, I've learned that all hope is not lost, and I don't want to paint that picture at all, because if we recognize that an investment on the right side of the scale to the degree that's needed will turn the scale in the right direction, then there's just steps that we have to take greater than what we would have had to take otherwise. It says, and turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 18. All hope is not lost in this battle. We just have to better size up the challenge that's in front of us and be realistic that if our scale's tipping in the wrong direction, it may take more than it did before to get that fresh update from God, to get to the point where it's not a battle to go to prayer. It's not a struggle to get myself to church. It's not a chore to open up the Word of God. Because it says in John chapter 10, verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. And this is Jesus talking about his life. And he's given us that authority. No man can take our lives, but we have the power to lay it down, and we have the power to take it back up. If you think about the world that he's created, he hasn't given that choice to anything else. The birds don't have a choice. They do what they do because God programmed them to do it. Amen. The seasons don't have a choice. They do what they do over and over again. Nothing else has he given this authority, this choice, to take up our lives or to lay them down. He's given us power. And the degree that we've slipped, that the scale has started to tip in the wrong direction, to that same degree is the effort that needs to be taken to get back on the right side of things so that our lives will be pointed back in the right direction. Amen. And then as we continue to add weight, it becomes that virtuous cycle. Like the song says, the more I seek you, the more I find you. Amen. And the more I find you, the more I love you. Amen. And the more I love you, and again, and again, and again. So there is a safe place as we feed that virtuous cycle. Amen. We don't have to always be battling back and forth. I remember over the years of maturing and growing and learning and I don't like the roller coaster ride of back and forth and back and forth. I don't like to be so close that I have to battle the scale. And I know that if I feed the virtuous cycle, it will actually feed itself and continue to feed itself. And as much as there's a fixed weight on this side, there is no end to the weight that God can put on the side of the scale that points towards him. But as much weight as we invest, there'll never be a time that we can't stop investing. Amen. Luke 17 and 33 says, "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." Dying to ourselves, we feed the virtuous cycle. The one where the power of God rules our lives and fuels our desires. That then fuels our desires. That then fuels our desires. That then fuels our desires. Tonight, as the musicians come, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Let me give you some more examples of times that God has just, he's tipped the scale heavy in one direction in my life. Growing up, I went to camps, like we're going to go to junior camp. And I know God tipped the scale in ways that have profoundly changed the outcome long term. I've seen our own youth going to junior camps and senior camps and winter camps, and maybe you have experienced some of those things as a youth or now as a going to family camp. You know, it's the same pattern that is prescribed if you talk to anyone about a revival service where they have services every day for a series of time. It's to create it's to heavy up on the scale. And anytime you heavy up the scale on one side towards God, something happens. I mean, ladies, many of you went to ladies' retreat, and what is it, 3 days? 3 short days, you start to focus on God to a degree probably greater than you would had you not been at ladies' retreat, right? And you worship, and you pray, and you hear the word, and you worship, and you pray, and you hear the word, and you worship, and you hear. And the virtuous cycle starts to feed itself. And I think every one of us, if you've experienced any version of that, know that you come out of those times just so on fire for God. Wanting to do things that you didn't want to do last week. Church, the same thing that worked at camp or ladies' retreat works after camp, and it works after ladies' retreat. I know we can't all be at camp year round, but it's a pattern. See, God has filled this thing, this world, with patterns that happen. And if we'll see the pattern and say, that's a good pattern, it's a virtuous cycle that feeds itself. In closing, we could take that step back one more time, and God has put all these things in place that just, they work. Our hearts work, the stars work, the weather works, the plants work, the animals work. I mean, you can go down to the small level, the atoms and the molecules work as the protons and the neutrons spin around each other. This is all happening right here. And God has put it all in, it's his, in his control. He's got all these virtuous systems that work. We didn't do anything to make those things happen. We don't contribute anything. God is in control of it all. The one thing that he has given us control of, ourselves. God has given us the power to lay down our lives. He's given us the power to take them back up again. If God is such a good engineer with all the things that he has engineered that make this thing go around, I think we'd all be better off if we would just apply the instructions. Because he didn't build us without knowing the perfect system. And he's given us the instructions that will deliver the perfect system that feeds itself, a virtuous cycle forever and ever and ever. But it's up to us. He's given us the power. The one thing he's created that he's given that choice to. And so tonight as we open up this altar, I'm sorry to say this is a never-ending battle as long as we're in this flesh. I wish I could tell you that at some point you can stop investing in the virtuous cycle, but you can't. And if you invest, you won't want to because it feeds itself. And if you're feeling like you're a little too far on the wrong side, and maybe you've been there for a long time and you know because you've tasted it before what it feels like to not have to battle with all of those things, I'm telling you tonight, you can tip the scale. But you're going to have to put as much effort in as is needed to get there. And as you get there, you're going to have to continue and continue. But it won't be difficult. It will be difficult the first one. And it may be a little difficult the second one and the third one. But God has set up a virtuous system that is self-sustaining. And if we'll simply apply it like he's applied it to everything else around us, my God, he's the only one that can actually change us from the inside. I can't really change the way I think and feel, but he can. Tonight, let's open the altar and thank you, Jesus.